Hello, Paul Auerter here speaking for Medscape Infectious Diseases and from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. I just got off clinical service, so I thought I'd tell you about a case that I thought was fairly interesting. This case has to do with the facial cellulitis. As infectious disease physicians or primary care clinicians, certainly cellulitis is one of the most common entities that we end up diagnosing, but oddly, almost always without any microbiological data. The case that I thought I'd tell you about is a woman who had been scratched by a cat right near her eye and was admitted because of a concern for facial cellulitis and periorbital cellulitis that was afflicting her, the left side of her face. She was admitted, placed on antibiotics. We were asked to consult 3 days into her course when the left side of her face was not improving. In fact, it was turning more red. The patient had increasing pain complaints that were unrelenting. Her eye was very swollen. It was shut and red. So we actually recommended changing to broader spectrum antibiotics, including vancomycin to cover MRSA, as well as cefepime on the off chance she had a resistant gram-negative process. CT imaging only confirmed that she did not have orbital cellulitis and there did not seem to be any abscess, but her left side of the face was just fiery red. So we started these antibiotics, and the next 2 to 3 days, the patient was absolutely miserable. And then, oddly, this cellulitis crossed over her face and began afflicting her other cheek. It became also fiery red. She was incredibly uncomfortable. And then her left eye also became involved and was red. Did not really know what to think. She was scratched by a cat. We thought Pasteurella should be well covered, or any of the streptococcal species or staph, by our current antibiotic program. Cellulitis often doesn't respond promptly and may take more than the customary 24 to 48 hours, but honestly, we were flummoxed. You begin thinking about those odd things of cellulitis that aren't infectious but mimic it, such as eosinophilic cellulitis or leukemic infiltration, along with just slow clearance of erythrotoxins. But actually, the clue or the diagnosis came because the patient had been also seen the ophthalmologist to confirm that there was no kind of keratitis or other ocular involvement, and they agreed that other than a conjunctivitis, there was really nothing going on. So the clue did not come from X-ray, radiology, but merely from history and observation. And although it was not on her computer-generated list, the patient was religiously placing corticosporin on her cheeks and also around her eyes in the hopes that this additional topical antibiotic would help solve the infection. Now, we often use use these topical antibiotics in hopes that, for example, after surgical wound care and so on, that patients would have a speedier recovery. We'll use it in impetigo. However, there's some interesting facts about corticosporin. As many of you know, it has components of neomycin, polymyxin B, and bacitracin in it. But what may not be as commonly understood is that neomycin and bacitracin are highly allergenic. In fact, a number of series have found that people can be allergic on patch testing 6 to 13% of the time in some series. And in fact, this patient was placing the corticosporin on her whole face in hopes of helping the infection. This was just causing a severe allergic dermatitis. So we stopped broad spectrum antibiotics, asked her not to place corticosporin on her face any longer after we spied the tube on her bedside table, and applied some topical corticosteroids, and within 48 hours she was markedly improved. So the lessons learned, I think, are that although some topical antibiotics are used very routinely, if used for the long term, can cause an allergic dermatitis, the worst offenders, bacitracin and neomycin. The ones that don't cause allergic profiles for the most part are polymyxin B and mupirocin. So those are probably safer if you feel the need to use them on a longer term. So thanks for listening to this case. I hope it provides some help and instruction, especially if you see lots of patients with cutaneous infections and employ these drugs or work in wound clinics and so on. Thank you.